properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com. This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
It is 22:06, and you're listening to The Home Run on 101.9 High FM, and it's time for the Israel report. Bringing it to you today is Steve Linder, the former editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post and is a prominent Israeli journalist. We are going to review the stories making the news this afternoon. Steve, thanks for being with me on Chai FM again.
Thank you for having me.
So I thought I'd like to start with the story of Itai Ophir being appointed as the new IDF chief lawyer following the State Teiman debacle. I'm wondering, who is he? Do we know much about him? Is he a Netanyahu loyalist? Is this a good appointment? What are your thoughts?
Well, obviously the appointment came because his predecessor had to resign in a scandal that really rocked the country. Sure. I'm hearing an echo. I hope you're not hearing an echo on my voice, but his predecessor leaked a tape about can you hear me? Because I'm hearing an
we
echo
can hear
on
you
my voice.
Perfectly. There's no echo or anything on our side. Yeah, we're good.
Let me just try and move somewhere, and maybe that'll be better. Yeah, so Itai Ophir basically replaced Major General Yifat Tomir Yerushalmi, who resigned and admitted to authorizing the leak of a detainee abuse video at State Teiman, which is a detention facility in the Negev Desert. And Ophir is going to be promoted to the rank of Major General, the same rank that she had, and will begin officially his role on the 24th of November, according to a statement by Israel's defense minister, Yisrael Katz. But yes, that it was a scandal that rocked the whole country, and I don't think we've seen the end of it, but he certainly is not necessarily a Netanyahu loyalist, and all the people I've spoken to say that he's a good person, and that this job, which is basically the top jurist, the top lawyer in the IDF, is a very important job. And so let's hope that he's successful.
Yeah, I mean, coming in the wake of that scandal, you certainly got your work cut out for you, that is for sure. A story of major importance, I think, this afternoon, apparently reported in the New York Times that Israel and Iran, it's not a question of whether there will be a second round of hostilities, it's a question of when.
Iran is obviously an ongoing issue. I think their nuclear program was set back a few years in the latest war, especially in June when the United States joined in. But according to the New York Times, it's just a matter of time when tensions between Israel and Iran erupt again. And of course, this is probably true, although here in Israel, there's the feeling that the whole myth of Iran was blown apart in the last war. The fact that, Israel can attack Iran and get away with it and set back its arms program and deliver what according to Israeli defense officials was a major blow against the Iranians. So, the Israelis, at least from where I'm sitting, do not see Iran as the bigger as bigger threat as it used to be. It used to be seen as sort of the head of the octopus with all these proxies, including sure. Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis, all of which have been weakened in the last couple of years. And so Iran is no longer as menacing, at least to most Israelis, as it used to be. So yes, it's a big story, and clearly they are working to rebuild their nuclear program. But I think it'll take time, and the Israeli and American strikes definitely set them back several years.
I read, I think it was in the same article, the journalist was stating that they hoped to achieve a capability of being able to fire up to 2,000 ballistic missiles simultaneously. I mean, who needs nukes if you can do that?
You know, obviously this is a serious threat, and Israel's going to have to take it seriously, and not, you know, this is not a light matter. But I'm not sure where the journalist got his data from, but clearly the Iranians remain the biggest threat in the region and the biggest existential threat to Israel. And I think one thing that we've all learned from October 7th is not to take such threats lightly. And certainly the Israeli defense establishment and the government are discussing this very seriously. But I should add, some that the big news in Israel really this week has been the return of the remains of Lieutenant Hadar Golden.
Hadar Golden. The only reason I didn't bring that up with you this afternoon was only because we had a whole segment where we devoted full time to that. So it's not as though we weren't dealing with it. We just did in a lot of depth.
Okay. I'm happy not to talk about that, but you should know that there's a feeling, at least in Israel, of closure, and that this was a very big step, and there are now five dead hostages still to be returned, but all the live hostages and all the others have been returned for burial. And so, you know, for many of us, you know, we're breathing a collective sigh of relief.
And I'm sure that family that's waited 10 years to receive the remains of their son. I mean, it's a long time.
Yeah,
10 years.
Actually more than 11 years. So it's for them, and I know them well, the Goldens, you know, this was a really important closure. And for many Israelis, you know, this is sort of a turning point. You know, because everyone's been struggling and fighting to get the hostages back. And this was one particularly symbolic case of a soldier who was taken, who was murdered and taken captive 11 years ago. And his parents have been struggling and battling and going all over the world trying to show everyone that this is a serious matter and that it needs to be dealt with. And finally, they have received the remains of their son's body for burial together with, you know, all the hostages from October 7th. So it's a very big moment in Israel, and also from the moral and national morale point of view, this is a huge big deal. And I think many people in Israel are not exactly celebrating, but are feel that now we can at least move on and discuss other things besides the hostages. I mean, there are still, as I say, four Israeli bodies, exactly, and one body of a Thai national who need to be returned by Hamas. But at least the ceasefire deal seems to be in effect, and the Trump administration is clearly determined to see it through, and they've sent Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, to Israel, who together with Steve Witkoff is working on the next phase of the deal.
There was also an article in Times of Israel. I just knew nothing about this at all. It's interesting to me that Israel and India are apparently concluding some sort of missile deal. This I found particularly interesting because places like France prohibited Israel from even exhibiting their wares at an arms festival. Shouldn't call it a festival, an arms market. Do we know anything about this Israel-India missile deal? Is it substantial?
I also read about it. Israel's doing, deals with a lot of countries, and Israel and India have had very close ties ever since, Modi became the Prime Minister of India, and he and Prime Minister Netanyahu have very good relationships. And there's a very strong trade pact. So this doesn't come as any surprise.
Okay.
I think also Israel's trying its best to, make deals with countries other than, China and Russia to not only expand its own defense and security status, but also to expand the Abraham Accords and bring in other countries. And as you probably know, that's what the Trump administration is working on at the moment. So, I think it's a big deal. Israel and India are very close allies, and the United States, I think, is pushing Israel to make deals with other countries as well. So, I think that's also some good news.
I don't know if this is fair to throw this at you. It appears to me that from the Times of Israel, this is only a story that broke about 5 minutes ago. So I get it if you don't want to comment on it, but it is interesting. Abbas apparently sacking his finance minister for illicit payments to prisoners, sources revealed to the Times of Israel. I mean, find that fascinating that he's actually done that after years of pay for slave.
Yeah, no, you're right. I saw that story as well, and obviously it's an interesting story. I'm not sure of the validity of the story. Again, we're checking on it, but as you know, the Palestinian Authority has an image of corruption, and Abbas himself is not exactly considered a leader of integrity. The whole Palestinian Authority has, according to many journalists, including Khaled Abu Tomeh, who is a very respected Palestinian journalist in Israel, they are corrupt to the core. And so this does not come as a surprise to me. What is a surprise is that Abbas himself has sacked the finance minister. And, if in fact there are illicit payments to prisoners, as Times of Israel claims, then, this is obviously another scandal that needs to be investigated. I think it's been known in Israel that the Palestinian Authority has been rewarding Palestinian terrorists and prisoners for many, many years. There's the pay for slay philosophy, which is that they actually finance terrorists who have killed Israelis and have taken part in terrorist attacks and pay their pensions. And of course, that is scandalous, and Israel has protested that ever since the beginning of the Oslo Accords. But this is definitely an interesting story. And thank you for bringing it up. I mean, I do want to investigate further, and I think we haven't heard the last of it.
Final question from me to you, unless there's anything you want to bring up, but this issue of the BBC top leadership resigning because fudging interviews with Trump, bias, all those issues, is that making the news in Israel at all?
Yeah, I mean, we've covered it at JNS and other places. I think it's an interesting story because there is an Israel angle, but also because they clearly, the BBC who have supposedly a very good, clean reputation, are accused of doctoring the Trump tapes before the last election. And I think it's interesting because BBC is known to be so anti-Israel in its coverage, that I know the Board of Deputies of British Jews said in a statement that the resignations must be seen as the beginning rather than the end of a process of renewal at the BBC, and that to restore trust, a deep cultural change will be necessary. So I think that, you know, I think there were two people who resigned, the Director General, Tim Davey, and the CEO of News, Deborah Turness. But I think maybe this is the beginning of change at the BBC, and maybe we'll see, you know, the British Broadcasting Corporation become much more balanced in its reporting, especially of the Middle East.
Steve, I think we're going to leave it there. I reckon we covered most of the important stories in Israel this afternoon. Thank you so much for your time.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.